Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, we're going to continue on in a message I've been ministering on this week, The Heart of a Worshipper. And we were looking at the woman who came into the Pharisee's house when Jesus was dining. That's found in Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 36 through 50. And Jesus not only commended her, but He said, your sins are forgiven. And so we're looking at the aspects of worship, the things that we need to understand in order to worship God in spirit and in truth. And yesterday, as I brought the broadcast to a close, I gave an example of David from 2 Samuel 60:20, when they were bringing the ark a second time successfully into Jerusalem. David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. And his wife, Michael, she wasn't even there. She looked out the window and saw him. But because of her critical attitude, she was barren the rest of her life. That was the result of her criticism of the king of Israel, who was expressing in the most beautiful way. Thank God the Psalms that David wrote and that we have in our Bible are beautiful expressions of worship to God. And we can, there's a danger of spiritual barrenness, as I shared, when we're critical of genuine acts of worship. We have to be very careful not to criticize or put others down for however they're choosing to worship God. Now, there's a place. Everything should be done decently in order, and certainly not done to draw attention to oneself. But there's, you know, as I'm sharing this, I'm thinking of an incident that happened years ago. My husband was he was a leader of the Southwest region in our Ministers Full Gospel Fellowship, and one of the functions where we had to attend various meetings. Well, we were down in Southern California, and we were at a pastor was hosting the members as well as his church was there, and it was the praise service, and I saw this brother get out into the aisle, and to this day, it was the most beautiful expression of worship I've ever seen. The pastor had sort of placed a disclaimer on me. He said, please don't bother, don't be concerned about whatever his name was, he said. But what he said, he's been in every program the city of Los Angeles offered as far as rehabilitation or deliverance from drugs, and it was only Jesus that saved him. And he stood there. I mean, we're not talking anything choreographed. He was standing there with his arms spread out, his eyes were closed, his head was up, and he was lost in worship. And after the service, I said, brother, don't ever stop dancing for the Lord that way. It was the purest, his eye, he was, and then as soon as the song was over, he went back very quietly into his seat. He was not, that's the last thing he was doing was to draw attention to himself, but he was worshiping the Lord with all of his heart. And so regardless of your teachings, perhaps regardless of what you've experienced in your attendance at church, it's a controversial subject. I'd like to share a quote I read years ago from Bob Sorge. He was director of music at the Elam Bible Institute and a pianist as well. He said, in the church today, nothing is quite so controversial as worship. Entire churches, isn't that a shame, have been split over the matters of worship and the proper way to conduct it. But a choice is set before us. We can either choose to please men, or we can decide to please God. It rarely seems possible to do both. And of course, we have an example of that passage from Scripture I've been sharing, found in Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 36 through 50. Jesus was at meat with a Pharisee, and a woman came in. She kissed his feet. She was weeping, stood behind him. She anointed his feet with oil. And Jesus, how did he respond? He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And this woman was willing to endure the disapproval of others for the sake of hearing her master's "well done." And even the disciples who probably were in attendance there, they were thinking probably, why doesn't Jesus do something? This woman is obviously out of order. Why is he letting this thing drag on? But rather than rebuking her, it was a time of teaching. He commended her for that and gave her beautiful assurance that this is this wholehearted pouring out of one's heart to God was what the true heart and the true spirit of worship was. The disciples had a lot of head knowledge because, you know, they were good Jews. They understood how you worshiped in the synagogue. But it took a sinful woman, someone who was uneducated in the many forms of worship, probably didn't even, you know, read the Torah, didn't understand. It took this sinful woman who had been touched by the words of Jesus. Obviously, she had heard about Jesus. She came to worship him. And it took her demonstration to reveal the heart of a true worshiper to these disciples. Spiritual maturity, beloved, does not exempt one from being a worshiper. In fact, the more we should be evidencing the heart of a worshiper. So there's a greater responsibility, beloved, upon those who are elders, upon those who are spiritually mature, to worship the Lord and be an example to others. And again, as I've said, however, you may have physical limitations, it doesn't mean that you're not worshiping God if you're not dancing or if you're not standing. It's where your heart is at. And even if it's just a simple lifting of the hands, if that's all you can do, then that God knows your limitations. It is an act of worship before him, because the most important thing is to have your spirit and heart engaged, your soul engaged, that you're wanting to thank God, you're willing to show your appreciation to him for the life he's given you, for all the things, in spite of the troubles, in spite of the battles. He wants you to open up your heart to God. I'm going to just stop for a minute. The Lord wants to minister. For the word of the Lord, my beloved, this day to you is to open your heart in greater and greater depths to my spirit, to my presence. I desire to refresh you. I desire to strengthen you. I desire to lead you in the wisdom of the Lord. And it is my heart's desire for you that you would be emptied of self, that you would pour out your love and your worship to me in ways that you find expression, however you would love me with all of your heart, express appreciation, express thanksgiving, for I dwell in the midst of praise. I inhabit the praises of my people. So if you would increase your anointing, if you would extend your knowledge of God, if you would allow my presence to flow through you unimpeded, then worship me with your whole heart and know that I receive your praises. I love you, and I will anoint you and give you the strength that is needed to walk the path you are walking now. Rejoice in me, beloved, for I love you and give you the confidence to know that I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I love you with an everlasting love, says your God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, I'm thinking of that incident we've just been looking at about the woman who was weeping and crying and wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. There's a cleansing power of worship. That's why, you know, regardless of where you're at, take some time when you're alone or when you're able to be able to worship God, not only when you're alone, but in the congregation of the Lord. The last words of Jesus to this woman were, "Your sins are forgiven." And so, beloved, sometimes when we've blown it, sometimes when we know we have sinned, we must not allow sin or guilt or condemnation to deter us, to stop us from worshiping, to deter us from intimate fellowship with God. What does John say? If we have any sin, if we confess those sins to Him, He's just and faithful to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where the joy comes, to know His love, even when we've disappointed Him, even when we've turned our back on Him. There's times we do that. Sometimes folks backslide. Remember the parable of the father and the prodigal son, if you will? He took his inheritance, which was a sort of a blasphemous and insulting thing to do, because that should be received at the father's death. And he went off and he partied and finally came to himself in the pig's pen. He'd spent all he had. And when the father saw him, he ran to him. He came to himself and he said, "At least I had something to eat with my father." And he couldn't even eat the food that was in the pig's pen, the husks that the pigs were eating. And so he returned to his father, but his father was there with open arms. God never holds us at arm's length when we sin. He convicts, but He never condemns. Conviction leads to repentance, but condemnation leads to despair. Conviction results in victory over sin, but condemnation is abject defeat. Hallelujah. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I want to stay on that subject a little bit more, because sometimes we misunderstand where we're feeling condemned, and that's not of the Lord. It's the enemy working on us. Jesus gently convicts. He doesn't push us away. He doesn't say that we're unworthy of His love. We're unworthy of all the blessings that come from being saved. No, He welcomes us with open arms. Well, my time is gone, and I bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, if you're wrestling with some things that perhaps you can't share with anyone else, know that I alone read the mail and answer the mail. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, you may want to include your mailing address so I can respond personally. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,